Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we complete our study of Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 with this message and discussion titled The Consummation. We've gone line by line through Daniel 9, 24 to 27 in order to provide a very thorough, clear, and decisive study of the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Now we begin our study in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, titled The Consummation, with a song titled The Isaiah Medley. Daniel 9, verse 27, this is our last study of Daniel's 70 weeks. And if you missed the studies, they're online. They're almost all up. I think we'll have the one we taught last week, I think, is going up Friday. And then this one will be up Sunday. And you can catch up with what you missed. And I am not boasting on Greg Miller when I say this. There's a lot you missed if you haven't been with us in all these studies. And it's because there's a lot here from God's Word. And we didn't skip and jump over it. And we're going to close out the study and we'll see why we saved this and didn't just jump through it last week in our previous study in the midst of the week. So we'll be in Daniel 9:27. And we're going to go ahead and read the whole verse for context. So if you're there, go ahead and begin with me, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Let's go ahead and open with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word, and we do ask you help us to focus, to think clearly, to be guided by your Spirit, to treat every word of this book as important. And Lord, just help us in our understanding, and may this motivate us to further study, but also to want to live lives pleasing in your sight and to be your vessels to go out and to preach the gospel to the lost with whatever time we have remaining. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, verse 27, we're going to start where you see it says, he shall make it desolate. And the first part of the verse tells us he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant. That's the Mosaic covenant with many, and that's all the nations involved with the world government and Israel, for 1 week. That's 7 years. And in the midst of that week, 3.5 years in, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. There will be a temple built on the Temple Mount, and he, the Antichrist, will put a stop to the sacrifices. And the oblation is a reference to those wave offerings and meal offerings you read about in the law. And it says, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. And we talked about that in the at the end of our study last week. And that reference to the abominations is a great, very interesting study we went into last time. So I'm not going to repeat it all here. But he then says, when he says he shall make it desolate, that's basically a reference to what's going to happen in the tribulation period as a result of the entire world, with the exception of a small remnant. The entire world is going to follow after this Antichrist, and in doing so, that is a complete rejection of Jesus Christ. And so when they take that mark, whatever it is, you remember the old Chick Tracks, they had big 666 on the forehead, you know. I don't know that it's going to be that obvious, but it will be a mark in and on. If you read the Bible in Revelation, it says both in the forehead and hand. Also, it says on. And I think there's a reason why God said it both ways, because it makes sense that there would be a visible sign of some sort, that mark. And it may be really small, but to the naked eye, still visible. And then in, because if it's a chip of some sort that's going to control your bank accounts and everything, then it makes sense it's in your skin. So in and on. But it says, when it says he shall make it desolate, if you haven't studied closely the book of Revelation, go on our website and study the book of Revelation. We have about, I think, 100 hours of study on the book of Revelation. And we haven't had anybody yet contact me and say, you know, you kind of drug that out a little bit. Isn't that amazing? There's been over 3,000 people follow through the book of Revelation. I'm not talking about the people who just listened to one or two. I'm talking about people who went through the book of Revelation on YouTube, Sermon Audio, and the different places we put these messages. And not one. And they tell me when they don't like something. And not one said, you know, you could have cut that down a little bit. But what I did get was some people saying, man, I hate to see this end. Not because of Greg Miller, you know, oh. No, it's because of that book. This King James Bible. That's what it's all about. So, when he says, he shall make it desolate, we understand this by looking at related biblical references. And there are clear references showing that the holy city, Jerusalem, the city right now that they're putting our embassy in, and the Palestinian so-called in Gaza are rioting over, and people are being killed. That same city is what we're talking about. It'll be desolate after the midst of the week, in the middle of that time of what we call the time of great tribulation. Turn over to Revelation 11. I want to show you something by way of review for some of you. Something very interesting here in Revelation chapter 11 regarding Jerusalem during the tribulation, during the 70th week of Daniel. Revelation 11. While I'm turning there, should I ask you, how's Justin? Okay. Just wanted to ask as we pray for him. And Revelation 11, verses 1 through 3. This is real interesting. It says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod." That's something you measure with. It's like a tape measure. "And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein." People have asked me, why do you keep saying they're talking about this temple that's going to be built and the rebuilt temple? Because if you believe the Bible, it says there's a temple during that time. So they're getting ready now to build it. The Temple Mount Faithful. You can look it up. They've got all the utensils and instruments and robes and all that stuff ready. They've got a red heifer. We used to joke about it back in the late 80s. All the prophecy teachers were all excited about the red heifer. And it just seemed like half the time turn on the TV when they had prophecy teachers, they'd talk about the red heifer. And it's important, though. It is. It's nothing to really make fun of, but it just seemed like they went a little overboard with excitement. But the reason they were excited about that is because you have to have a purebred, spotless red heifer. You have to sacrifice that red heifer and use its blood in order to consecrate the temple. And they're ready. And by some accounts, they could have a temple up and going within 6 months. And they say that what they would do in the meantime is set up a tabernacle-type temple in the first few months. And what I think they would do, this is Gregism, this is Gregology, you don't have to believe this. But I think what you might see happen is that they will set up that temporary thing and get the thing going. And then when they get the big one ready, that's when they'll confirm the covenant. And they'll have a big party, a big brouhaha like they had yesterday about the embassy, only be a much bigger deal. But it continues and says, he's commanding this angel, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Look at verse 2. But the court which is without the temple, translated outer court. The court which is without the temple, that's referring to the outer court. You'll read about it in the Old Testament in the Temple of Solomon. He says, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the what? Do you know that right now the plans are to do exactly that with the new temple they were getting ready to build? And it's going to be called, they're calling it a universal temple. And they're going to welcome all the religions. Yeah. They're already ready. Now, all the religions won't be able to go into that holy place. And they won't be able to offer their own sacrifices on their altar. But they're going to have this outer court area welcoming all the Gentiles. Now look at what it says then. After that, it says, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Look at that. That's Jerusalem. They're going to tread the holy city underfoot 42 months. Let's do some math. I know Matt's here, so it won't take long. How in years, what's 42 months? Oh, Mark, showing you up. 3.5 years. You guys say it louder. 42 months, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. Right? Every time you see that, 3.5 years. And it says they shall tread that holy city underfoot for 42 months, 3.5 years. And then it goes on to say this, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. How many of you remember the study on the two witnesses? I believe that to be Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, represented by Moses and Elijah. Some other people think it's Enoch. I don't believe that. He represents the Gentile bride being raptured out before the flood. That's why I don't believe it's Enoch. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And that gives you an idea of the condition of the city while they're prophesying. They're in sackcloth because it's a terrible time. The city is being trodden underfoot. Exactly what we read in Daniel 9:27. And that, it says, will take place even until the consummation. So what's the consummation? Well, to consummate is to bring to a perfect end. Do you know that? To consummate is to bring to a perfect end. And then you think of marriage. I don't know how many of you think of consummation. But legally, consummation is a term regarding marriage. And consummation of a marriage brings the dating or courtship or engagement or betrothal, whatever form you use in your culture, brings it to a completion. And the perfect end to that betrothal or that engagement is what? Marriage. And that's why they talk about the consummation when it comes to marriage. Now, that's a big word, but it's in the Bible. And I want you to think of those two words as we go forward. Marriage and consummation. Because it's word. A lot of times, understanding your Bible is it's like a game of word match. I know kids beat me all the time with that game where you flip one card over and flip another and you try to match the apples. Was it Caroline that beat me at that when we had over the house? Yeah. We used to play a math game where it would say 2 + 2 = 4. And you turn another one over, it's 3 + 3 = 6. You turn it back over. You try to match those equations. And I'm not real good at that. But I cheat when it comes to the Bible. What you can do in the Bible is use a word search, or if you want to get old-fashioned, get the old, Strong's Concordance, and open that thing up, and it has all the words, and then all the references where all those, that one, you look up the word word, and it lists all the Bible verses that the word, word, appears in. That'll take you a while. That's a long study. But it's a great time, man. I'm telling you, it's good times. Yeah, Charlie? No. No, you have to look and say, oh, there's a capital. Not very often that it's capitalized, so it's easier to do that. But now, if you go on, if you get on your computer, and you can type in and get it on Bible Gateway, Blue Letter Bible, or I have Sword Searcher on my computer. It's not really cheating. Don't feel bad if you do it. It's just using your brain and studying smartly. Amen? What is this? They say, don't. What's the word? They have a phrase about that. Not working harder, working smarter, right? Yeah. You can do that with Bible study. Nothing wrong with it. Now, this word consummation in the context we're talking about refers to the return of Jesus Christ. But listen, it also regards consummation in marriage. Keep it in mind as we continue. Now, I made this fancy schmancy little chart here, and it's a basic outline of the 70th week of Daniel. And if you are like me, you're visual. If not, it might still help you. But Daniel's 70th week begins when he confirms the covenant with many for 1 week. This is 7 years, and this is the consummation. In the midst of the week is when he causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now, on this side of the midst of the week, in Revelation, you'll read about the seven seals and the six trumpets.
And the reason I put the seventh trumpet over here is because the seventh trumpet basically introduces the seven vials. And that's on this side of the 3.5 years. Now keep that in mind, because some people teach that all these happen in the last 3.5 years. Others actually teach that they're all repetition. Have you heard that taught? That the seals, trumpets, and vials, they're repeating each other. And I don't believe that at all. And I'm going to show you one real solid reason why you shouldn't believe that. But there are a lot of teachers teach that. And it's because there are similarities. Like there's an earthquake under the seals and there's an earthquake under the vials. But does that mean they're the same? What did we learn in Revelation? I'm going to test you. Some of you are here. What did I say about similarity? Oh, wow, give him a cookie. Similarity is not sameness. This little girl and that little boy are similar. They are not the same. And even if you have twins, they're similar, very similar. They're still not the same. And if you don't believe that, ask a twin. They get very upset when everybody treats them like they're the same. They have their own tastes and all that, own issues. So keep that. We'll show it again. Also notice the rapture is here. The return is there. The rapture and the return are not the same event. And we have a study online. You can search it and watch that. The rapture and the return. And we show the differences. They're not the same. They're similar in some ways, but they're not the same. Now, verse 27 continues and says, "And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Now, this coincides with what we call the vial judgments, V-I-A-L. Not B-I-L-E. Bile, B-I-A-L. Now, a lot of guys do this. I don't know why, but everybody changes it to bowls. I don't know why they do that. It's like they don't think we know what a vial is. I mean, how many of us haven't even pretended, you know, be the, when we used to play, you know, me and my cousins and my brother and sister and all, we'd get together and play, and someone would be the mad scientist with a vial. You know. And all of us, if we just think about these words in the King James Bible, there are very few of them we don't use all the time. But people will read it in the Bible and they suddenly say, "Oh, what does that mean?" So I don't know why they change it to bowls. But as I showed on that chart, those vial judgments are going to be in the second part of the 3.5 years. Now, you'll notice a little difference between these charts. I don't know if Johnny's showing it on there for folks watching, but he has the trumpets kind of going right down the middle of the 3.5 years, and I have it moved over a little bit there. Not a big deal, I don't think, but that's just the reality of a difference. And this is just a drawing by a Pat Marvinko Smith. Pat Marvinko Smith, any relation? Distant. Goes all the way back to Noah, right? But you'll see. Yeah. That's right. Everybody should name their kids after the Bible characters. It's a lot of fun, you know? We need a Mephibosheth. Not that I'm looking at anyone in particular. So with the seven vials, God's wrath is filled. See, that's why I believe it's clear, that and other reasons, why those vials are at that last 3.5 years. Why? Because when the Antichrist goes into his temple and defiles it and sits on the mercy seat, the place where Jesus belongs, and declares himself to be God, and I've heard people say, "Well, it's not really a real temple and a real ark anyway." And I believe that's true. It's a counterfeit. But it's still on God's holy ground where that's happening. And it's going to result in God pouring out His wrath. In Revelation 15:1, it says, introducing these vials, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues." Now watch this. "For in them is filled up the wrath of God. You see that? What I'm saying is that there's seven seals, seven trumpets, and there are plenty of wrath in those. But these last seven is where God's wrath is filled up. See the difference? There just is a difference. At this point, the cup of His wrath, and that goes back to our last study, the cup of His wrath is now full and will be poured out in these seven seals. And so I hope you're picturing that in your mind as we go through the tribulation period in our minds. Thankfully, none of us, if you're saved here today, you won't literally go through the tribulation period. But as we go through it in our minds and the seal or the seals and the trumpets lead up to that seventh trumpet, and that's when the Antichrist enters into the temple and defiles it. And then comes the seventh trumpet, which leads us into the seven seals. And in Revelation 14:10, it says the same. Now remember what I said about the cup. The same shall drink of the wine of the what? Which is poured out without mixture into the what? Cup of His indignation. Now, it just all comes together when you pray through and get it. We must point out the idea that the seals, trumpets, and vials are the same is ridiculous. I mentioned that earlier. Some people will claim that if you look at them and they have them listed over here and they say it's a repeat. And I think it's ridiculous. And this reference to the seven last plagues means those follow the previous plagues. Look at that. Obviously, the seven last plagues, they wouldn't be last plagues if they were the same as the previous seven trumpets and previous seven seals. Amen? You kind of have to sometimes pretend you're the jury and you're in a court of law, because we're told to try the spirits. What's that mean? It means put them on trial. And we can start to think. And that's why I love watching Matlock and Columbo. You ever watch those? How many of you watch either one of those, Matlock or Columbo? All right. Olivia, you haven't watched... Oh, my. We're going to have to get some DVDs or something. Columbo... Columbo's, he'd make a good preacher, because preachers are always saying, all right, I'd like to close. And he's like, one more thing. One more thing. Now, you can't see that from your seat there probably, but I listed those are the seven seal judgments, seven trumpets, and seven vials, and we make this available online. But all that is what we're talking about. All of that. And that last column is what's going to make everything desolate. It's bad before that. Don't get me wrong. It's bad. But you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24? That this time of great tribulation would be like nothing. Nothing we had ever seen before. And let me tell you something. If you study history, that's some scary stuff. When you read about what has happened in history, I mean, you see... you read about Pompeii and Vesuvius, and you see what's going over in Kailua and Hawaii right now, and you realize that's nothing. And you read about the Armenian genocide and the Holocaust in Nazi Germany and all the martyrs that the popes have had put to death by the millions, and all the tens of millions that the communist dictators or communist regime leaders have put to death of you, and we... According to Jesus, that's still not comparable to what we're going to see when all this stuff happens. Is that something? Johnny?
Another thing I'd like to put on that list. Was it the Aztecs or something that did hundreds and hundreds of